All right, this is our Wednesday night installment of Faith in the Word, and we're going to continue on our venture about spiritual growth. And so we're going to look at, before we get into the phases and the characteristics of growth, we're going to just kind of go back a little bit and maybe give you some background and give you more insight. And we're going to talk about spiritual growth of the inner man or the inward man. And so when we say man, we're talking about generically, the word man means everybody. We're talking about old people, young people, teenagers, adults, children. And so that's what we're talking about. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start reading a number of scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4. And let's pick up on verse 8. I'm going to read several scriptures, so bear with us. And I'm going to read in the King James Version. Let's get it on the board. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 8. We'll go right down to verse 15. So if you're following us, writing notes, you'll see that right there. King James Version. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I want you to notice the term gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's talk about Jesus. Then he says, he, that is Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, and he gave some apostles. And these are called what we term a lot as ministry gifts. He gave some apostles, sent ones, prophets, those who speak by revelation, some evangelists, those who speak Jesus, and some pastors, those who hang with the flock locally. Pastors they feed the people, and teachers who are expounders of the word for the perfecting of the saints. And it tells us, verse 4 tells us why God gave the ministry gifts, or what we call the ministry gifts, why he gave them: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So number one, perfecting. Number two, perfecting and edifying of the body of Christ. And it says, verse 3 here, 13, excuse me, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Notice the word perfect man, which means mature man, or spiritually developed, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie away to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now we want to mention some things again, as I try to make sure I've said some things about that. And of course, God gave, verse 11, the ministry gifts. And the reason why he gave them is asserted for us in verse 12, to perfect the saints, or to mature the saints, to help grow the body of Christ or the people of God. To work the ministry, number one, to work the ministry, to edify the body. So the ministry gifts, of course, are called to, number one, mature the body, number two, to grow up the saints of God and work the ministry. Those are things that the reason why we're called to together here together. So the body of Christ is very interesting. It has many, many kinds of people in it. There are different giftings. Notice in verse 13 also says a perfect man. Well, that doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means to mature. The word, it means to mature to a perfect man, to a place, a stature of continual growth and development. And so verse 14 says that we'd be no more children. So God doesn't want us to be babies all the time. So that word, that we be no more children, it says that when we become born again, we don't automatically become born again, mature. There's a development that takes place, and development can't be just because you've been around for 40 years and you got born again last week or 2 years ago. So it means you have to do some growing. And so we're going to look at some characteristics of how you can tell whether or not you're actually mature. And we can only do that with the Word of God. And so we all can give ourselves, you know, some understanding, at least some awareness of what we were, what state we are in our spiritual growth. Notice verse 14 very quickly. I want to mention this, that we henceforth be no more children. Now children can be led astray. And it says in there, children are tossed to and fro. Children are carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It talks about spiritually the immature baby Christian can be led astray by feeding on everybody on the internet and just feeding whatever you want when you want to. It's very dangerous for some people who are just got born again, and all of a sudden you're feeding on everything, and you're not growing. You're not growing spiritually. You're actually feeding on different things. You're not growing where you should be growing. Maybe you grow lopsided. Maybe you're kind of maybe too much on this thing. Maybe you're reading too much on Revelation, and you're just way off over here when you can't even pay your bills. You know what I'm talking about? And so some people are like just really crazy. They act like they're crazy as a Christian. People are afraid of them. They don't want to be near them because they're too fanatical. And you cannot address someone intellectually without trying to beat them over with the Word of God. And our maturity and growth, we can only share with people unless they open up to us and God shows us and they can receive from us. Sometimes you can't receive from someone because they're too crazy, you know, to just put it bluntly, because you're afraid of them almost. You don't want to, be around them. And so people can get carried away, and they can be messed up mentally, emotionally, by hearing all kinds of stuff, and they're not brought up in a local fellowship. It's interesting, this week I've met a number of different people, had conversed with different people about spiritual growth. And some people, after many, many years, still haven't grown up spiritually. They don't even know how to pray for themselves. They have to go to internet or you go online and ask everybody in the world to pray for them, reveal all their stuff, personal stuff about their family, about their job, and even, you know, are saying things about everybody else. That's not for the world to see. And so we need to have proper relationships in a structure that would be conducive for your growth, and it will attract other people rather than push people away. And the scripture says, several scriptures say there's sometimes people in church that they're actually pushing people away rather than bringing them into the body of Christ. And they're out there condemning people. They're out there telling people they're going to hell. And you're not God. Who made you the Holy Spirit? And so we need to be able to, converse with people in a proper manner with the Word of God. And, you know, very seldom God's going to tell you to go slap somebody around spiritually. It's not our business to go straighten everybody out. And so in any relationship, you have the proper understanding in relationship to hear people that you respect and that you have some honor and that you can hear from them. But if you just go around scolding people, they're not going to hear you. You say, "Oh, I'm giving them the word." No, the Bible says speaking the word in love. So that's not in love when we go and judge people and condemn people and so forth and so on. So it's not our job. Our job is to give people the Word of God and help them, amen, and so that they have a good feeling about God. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that there's sometimes you'll get convicted, you don't feel good on the inside, but that's not condemnation. The Bible says there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. So long as we're doing this in the Spirit, in the light of the Spirit of God. Now, let's look at some things which we need to see here. So the ministry gifts are, let's say, our spiritual guides, so to speak. They are our elders, our teachers, to help us along spiritually. And God gave them for our development. And I mentioned to you last week the different spiritual aspects or different gifts of spirit. All the ministry gifts' responsibility is to teach the Word of God, not just to prophesy, not to perform miracles, and not to do all these other things. You know, miracles are basically for unbelievers, not the church, to track the church. So we can believe for a miracle ourselves when we get the Word of God in us, because all things are possible to them who believes. So people running after a miracle, they're running after a miracle of healing. So when they get sick, so they leave and they run somewhere else. But if you belong to a good church, you have a good solid pastor, teaches the Word, and you've been listening for 17 years, you will live long. Amen. You will live long. You're not going to go crazy. You'll have your bills paid. You'll have a healthy home. Can you say amen? And so because you're getting the Word of God and you're getting a balanced diet, it's not my responsibility to come and teach my favorite subject every week. I have to teach people. I have to have a multitude of kinds of, word here to nourishment to give people what they need to grow spiritually. I don't come and teach about the anointing every week, things that really, we don't have Holy Ghost meetings every Sunday. Because you don't grow up spiritually by having Holy Ghost meetings. That's right. That's right. I mean, you can grow aspects of it. You can grow, I'm talking about, Holy Ghost aspects. I'm talking about, Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit meetings, usually, generally speaking, is when you're teaching the Word first. And then you have manifestations of God's power, the power of gifts and manifestation, and so forth and so on. Now, you don't just have Holy Ghost meetings. Every service where everybody's falling on the ground, they're crying, snot everywhere, tears everywhere, dancing around up and down, and they're really not growing. I mean, just because you have manifestations doesn't mean you're having a good time. So you go to work tomorrow morning or Monday morning. You show up. I mean, it's okay to do that in context. That's why I find it very challenging to have people watching on internet what is so sacred inside of a church. Hello? And everybody watching, they don't know what's going on. The world thinks you're crazy already. Amen? And so I think there's some things that need to be reserved for the church. There's some things, and appropriately, we talked about, so apostles are what we call sent ones. They're come to establish a church and build a foundation. And they're given a special word. The word apostle is the word apostolos, which means sent ones. God sends certain people. Like, say, for instance, Paul was not an original 12, one of the original 12 apostles, but he's called an apostle. And today, there's still apostles that are being developed. Apostles never ceased. God is still developing and calling people to be apostles. And people don't understand that. I'm not talking about apostles like the ones that Jesus was with. There'll only ever be 12 apostles that walk with Jesus. There'll never be anything like that again. But Paul was an apostle, and there are, I think, some 30-something other references to different ones that are called apostles that you have probably never heard their names ever before. In the New Testament, in Pauline epistles, these people are called apostles. They're sent. Say, for instance, Wigglesworth. We mentioned that he was an apostle. He was sent forth to give a special message about the supernatural, about faith. Brother Hagin he's an apostle of faith. So in a small way. We know that missionaries are apostles. They're not like apostles of the Lamb, but they're apostles. They're sent forth to develop and build a foundation of churches. I was telling, you know, we're talking today, I said, we need to start churches around the area, and that's been our faith for a long time. It's not the right time right now, but we would like to build churches in Dryden, in Fort Francis, in Kenora. That's why we have Bible school students. There's some here that might go out. Maybe it's you. People say, oh, no, not me. I remember years ago, I didn't particularly like to go to Kenora. I love Kenora. I go there. It's good to visit, go fishing, have some potato chips. You know, they got good food. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere. And I prayed, and the Lord sent me there when I had four other opportunities, which I thought he'd send me to. Because I wanted to be an executive, and I want to run an organization. I want to do this and that. The Lord said, no, you go over here. You're going to go over there because you have to learn some things because I'm going to use you 20 years from now. I never knew that, that he was going to develop my prayer life in Kenora. Well, who wants to learn their prayer life in Kenora, you know, that God sent me there? It's like sending Jesus to the wilderness for some time, and sending, Moses 40 years in the wilderness, you know. So God sent me there to learn some things, you know. So I was able to develop and grow emotionally in different ways. So it might not always be, God might not always send you to good places. So then they have, prophets are, you know, they see in the realm of the spirit, and generally they have the revelation gifts flowing in their lives on a regular basis. Evangelists have the power gifts regularly when they meet, when they preach. They have the power gifts of faith, working of miracles and healing. When they preach, that's what happens in their meetings. They preach, and they have these kind of manifestations. And you know, when a teacher gets up and teaches, you know, God's talking, because you can almost feel just impact by the word that they speak to you. It's heavy and wonderful, and you just get fed. But a ministry helps person. You know, people say, you know, you talk about, you remember the scripture? Let's go to the scripture here for a second. Let's take a little bunny trail. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Let's go look at this for a second. I'm going to show you something, just to give you some hint about what our crazy thinking is like sometimes. Are you guys doing okay today?
Yeah.
Well, I'm fine. I'm good. It's been pretty busy. Anybody been busy? Who's been fishing? Who's been going to the bingo? Nobody here? Hold on. Okay, let's go here. And God had sent them in the church. First apostle, God sent those guys out first. And you know, I remember one time Brother Hagin said, when Jesus appeared to me in the vision, he said, did you notice that these are in the order of importance? God has to send somebody out first. He sent the apostles out. And boy, they had a hard time. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. You know, prophets, they say all kinds of stuff, and teachers have to come along and expound what's going on. Right? They come and teach, let me tell you what he said. And they begin to teach. Brother Hagin used to say, you know, my preaching, some guys teach better what I've been preaching, the revelation I brought forth. Some people preach that a whole lot better. And so, thank God for that. After that, miracles. You know, miracles and gifts of healings. Those, you know, we see these, you know, in the office of an evangelist. You see, helps governments, diversity of tongues. That's all in there. Like, you know, it's important to see. Notice we have all these things. We get excited about all these gifts. But when it comes to helps ministry, nobody gets excited about it. But we should get excited about it. In this church, we're going to get excited about it, right? Helps ministry. Everybody say helps ministry. So we're all helpers. Thank God for that. No, that was just a little trip we took there. No. So God wants us to grow up. Notice verse 15. Let's go Ephesians 4. Did we read all those scriptures? Did we go to what? What's the last scripture we read? We read verse 8. We only read to 15?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you're listening. So, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things. That is, growing up to be like Jesus. That's what it is, spiritual growth. The aim of spiritual growth is to be like Jesus in our ways, to resemble Jesus, to act like Him. That's what we have to, that's our goal. And you know, here's what some people have said. Notice over here, let's go back up, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, those ministry gifts are to mature or spiritually grow the saints of God, the church, and to work the ministry or to do the work of the ministry. Now, here, a couple of thoughts. I want to just veer off here for a second. Somebody said, this morning I was reading in my interesting that got my attention on my you know, I was writing some things, and I saw this came up on my feed. When I say my feed, I'm not a farmer. I was just looking at Facebook. It just came up. It says in there, somebody said, you know, why are all these pastors traveling around doing different things, and they're always traveling, going, doing something somewhere else? And so they were kind of almost mad and criticizing it at the same time. And yet there's truth in it. Interesting, I said. Okay. I said, you know what? Yes, true that pastors are stationary. They should be in the local church regular. That's their mainstay, is to stay in the local church. And, you know, God told me, you know, He said, I don't want you to travel. I want you to stay in church. And He let me go once in a while to different ones, only just maybe a couple places. And I'm not traveling. I don't try to build an itinerary, but I also have another area of ministry. I'm not just a pastor. I have other areas of calling as well. So sometimes, I said, sometimes some pastors are dually anointed in a different office. Because you have pastor evangelists, you have pastor teachers, you have pastor you know, singers, you have pastor who can do, you know, different things. But sometimes we have to watch that we're not overemphasizing the traveling. So most of the time, pastors just are stationary. They stay in the local church. That's their main calling, is to stay in the local church, not to travel everywhere. But it's interesting, you know, when I listened to that person's, you know, what he saw, he said, you know, hey, there's a lot of people that are traveling. And then when you see different things, that there's some people, they just never grow up. And now the thought is this. I have a thought here that is very interesting when I hear that because of this teaching, that there are some churches are still stuck in the babyhood development because they've never been taught. They've never been fed the nourishment that they need for them to grow up. Say, for instance, you have different ones. I don't know. I don't see any one of our church close people that I know that go online and ask for people to pray for them. Because you learn how to pray. You learn how to pray for yourself. Now, there are times, exceptional, that we have to pray together and ask to pray in agreement. And there are sometimes we have to pray together for bigger things, bigger than ourselves, bigger than our family, bigger than, you know, different things, that we pray collectively in a corporate session. Amen. That we're all called to pray for certain things. But I'm not called to pray for everybody's need. Personal, I'm talking about personally. I don't take all your lists. Let me take your list here and pray for all of you. No, that's not like that. So, but listen to this. I was telling our team, I said, you know, pastorally, it's our responsibility to pray for this church and all the people in here. And I pray for the church all the time. Sometimes by name, if I know there's a problem, And sometimes I'm prompted by the Spirit to pray for somebody. I don't know why. I'll pray for them. Sometimes I know because I just hear things. Sometimes they tell me they're going through a struggle, and I pray for them. Sometimes spontaneously, sometimes on a regular basis. Let me say this, regularly, there are certain things that I pray for you on regularly. I pray the Pauline prayers for you regularly. That's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 20, I believe it's 22 somewhere. In chapter 3, verse 16, right down to 20 something again. And two main things. Number one, that you spiritually will be sharp. That you spiritually will be fed. That you spiritually will know who you are, what you can do, what God can do through you, and what you have as a Christian. Who are you? What can you do? You're not helpless. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You're not weak. Although you might feel weak spiritually, you know, sometimes you might feel like you're weak emotionally or physically, but you're strong. You can be strong right now if you want to. You can decide, I can be strong right now. I'm acting on a word. You know, thank God that we can be strong right away. And so I was thinking about this morning. It kind of caught my attention because these are important things. Now, it says that we grow up. We read a scripture last week, I think it was, 1 Peter chapter 2. And it talks about as spiritual babes. Remember the scripture? Chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Let's pull it up for a second for people to catch up here. Because there's something I want to say here that's very important. So spiritual growth is God's will. Everybody say spiritual growth is God's will. Say it's important. Say it's extremely important that I grow up. So it's important that you grow up, and we're going to see why. So as newborn babes desire to sense the milk of the word that we may grow by the... I just want to take out this, you know, the verse or the part that says that we may grow. You know, just to show you that God wants us to grow. We saw that in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 15, that God wants us to grow up. Then we see here that we need to desire the milk of the word that we might grow. Here's something interesting somebody said today, that you can't be weak emotionally and be strong spiritually. Your spirit has to be strong. You know, if you're strong spiritually and you have the awareness, you don't let your emotions override your spirit. Amen. We can control how we feel. Because if you couldn't control how you feel, you'd be a wreck every day. You can control, and the way you control that is renew your mind with the Word of God. And every time an attack comes, you say, no, devil, let me tell you this. When he speaks to me night, morning, anytime, I'll speak back to him. I say, I know what the Word says. Here's what the Word says. And I say what the Word says when I feel that I'm getting encroached by the enemy. I speak back. And here's what Mark Hankins used to say. He always says this. Never run at your giant with your mouth closed. You know, David, he didn't have his mouth closed running to the giant. He spoke. He said, I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed your whole body, your whole flesh. The animals are going to eat you up. And he didn't, you know, he wasn't nice about it. I told the devil today, he's a loser. Because the Bible says he is. No, I don't just go around and say it all the time because I just want to say it, but I'm fighting back. The Bible says I'm strong. The Bible says it's not my fight, it's God's fight. I'm strong in him. I'm not strong by myself. I'm strong in him. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. I don't wait for a day that I will get strong. No, I'm strong now. It's not, you know, I act on the word. Here's something about you need to look at. God wants the whole church, this Faith City Church, to all grow up. If everybody in this church tithed, we could build a building right away tomorrow. We want to build a building over here. I keep pointing over there because maybe it's over there. It could be down here. It could be over there. Okay, I talked to City Hall. I talked to somebody at City Hall. I said, I need somebody. We want to build a building over here. Tell me where I can build a building. And so we're going to build a building. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, well, how are you going to do it? Well, I don't have to have money to do it. I've never had any money ever before to be in the ministry. In fact, I was actually flat broke when I went into the ministry. My wife and I had zero money. But we went to the ministry. We had zero money when we went to Rhema Training Center. We had $0 when we went. God says, go. I said, excuse me. So you know, somebody asked me one time, because, you know, they work in government and they do funding and all that stuff. He asked me, how do you actually run this place? How do you buy those things? I remember when we first started television, you know, one camera was $25,000. Now, everybody has a camera like that. Not everybody, but, you know, I'm trying to exaggerate here. I mean, I think that camera was about, I don't know, what is it? Even, yeah?
$6,000
for the camera. And just the legs alone cost $6,000. Or $15,000. I can't remember, you know. And the wheels are like $1 million. You know, and so there's a lot of money involved. And so who's going to be responsible for bringing in the money every year? Well, God is. He said to do it. I'm just sitting in the front row of my own conference, and the prophet of God says, you're going on television. Me? I went home and prayed really hard, shaking in my bed. I said, I don't want to be on television. You know how much money that costs? And so shortly after, I had a call from Brother Ross. He said, Roma, listen, we're in the board, our board has been talking, and we'd like you to take over Spirit of Life Television. I said, what? He said, there's five people that we're looking at, and you're one of them. Would you mind having an interview? So we went to Desaronto, and we talked. And in fact, I think they already decided when I got there. Because, you know, I just was working for him, just with him just a little bit at a time. And so we were on television, and everywhere I go, my wife was just recently, we were together. And in fact, I mean, almost every week, Pastor Ken, we were somewhere just last week, and we were going to a car place, right? And somebody like Brini thought about it. And we were just, he was going there, not me. I'm sitting in the car, minding my own business. And the guy looks in there. Hey, I know that guy in there. Who are you? He says, I know you from somewhere. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to say anything. I could be in trouble. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? You know, I, honest to God, God knows my heart. I didn't want to be on television. I still, you know, feel really bad about God wasting his time on me. Almost you feel that way sometimes, you know. And so, but anyway, God is gracious. And he doesn't always wait for you to become so professional that he's going to use you. Right? He's looking for availability. He's looking if you're going to be available to go and do something. And I'll grant you this, I couldn't do what I'm doing today 20 years ago. I had to grow on the inside to do what I'm doing today. I'd be a nervous wreck. I'm more busy outside of the local church than I am here with people in the city. Different groups and different ones. Like, say, for instance, today I prepared myself to go to a funeral that I didn't plan. And yesterday I was at another funeral. And all weekend I was at a conference. Like, you know, you have these things, assignments that God has given. And one of the things that I know as a pastor is my responsibility to be of service there. It's not on my job description. You'll say, oh, no, it's not my job description. No, God says, hey, I want you to go. So, you know, like people say, Brother Hagin, you know, I'm sure you carry a heavy burden. You know, I'm having a great time. But I do get tired. Falls over. Now listen to this. Watch this. I know it's 8:09. If you have to go right away, go. We won't stop you. Everybody gets up and goes, wait a minute. No, watch this. He says that we may put that scripture, 1 Peter 2:2 again. I want you to see this. See this with your spiritual eyes. I want you to see this. Okay. As newborn babes, let me tell you, if you are newborn babes, what can you do for someone? Huh? Nothing. Not even not much. Even less than not much. Huh? A newborn baby doesn't say, hey, mom, listen. We're going to Dairy Queen. Eh? Newborn baby doesn't say that. As newborn babes, you know, newborn babes don't do that. You know, you say, you know, somebody, Brother Hagin, he's a kid, you know, you don't just leave a newborn baby in the hospital, say, oh, if, you know, he'll come home one day. No, he wouldn't do that. You have to take the baby home, and then you reasonably know how to, you have to train the baby. So listen, there are a whole bunch of people in church that are babies. Babies don't contribute financially to the church. They don't want to. They don't want to share anything. Eh? They want... Right? They smell, they cry. When they're uncomfortable with something, they cry, ah. Well, Ernie knows that, right, Ernie? He's been looking at babies. But babies don't think about anything. They don't care if they inconvenience you. Right? You have completely have to take care of babies. So God does not want you to be a baby forever. He wants you to grow up so that you can be someone's best buddy. Amen? Does this make sense? So they don't give money, they don't share stuff, they don't take it to church, they don't work, they don't have jobs, they don't do anything. So as you can see, God wants people to grow up. So there are benefits to growing up. If you grow up from one stage to another, there's a benefit from growing as a baby into a toddler. There's a benefit even for the family. And from a toddler to a childhood, a little child, a preteen, there's a benefit to it. Right, Kendra? No more babies. You know, this little girl is so cute, and we love her and all that, but she smells sometimes. I said, who's that? Pastor Ken says, I have the keenest smell everywhere. He knows where you've been. Anyway, that's so babies, you know, they can't contribute anything. So God wants us to all grow up. And we need to aspire to grow. And one of the things about a child, you know, like a child will grow up in various stages. And a child, if it's not properly developed, you know, there are some Christians that just go run around every church. It's okay to visit churches, but not every weekend. Right? Now you come to meddling, somebody said. No, but you have to be taught. Things. So there is a parallel between spiritual and natural growth. A parallel. What you see in natural growth is true spiritually. And we're going to see that. So usually, listen to this, about self-evaluation, spiritual matters, most people, some people say, here's what one preacher said, most people that I know, I've been teaching this for a long time, he says, most people think they're more mature than they thought they were, or they think they are. How mature are you? Well, I'm probably between this and that. So most people, like baby Christians or baby people, they don't know that they need development. And so a lot of us, we tend to exaggerate a little bit of our maturity, because nobody wants to be a baby. Right? Nobody wants to be called, okay, you spiritual babies, we're going to have you sit over here this week. You know? So there's a natural progression in naturally. There's infanthood, there's toddlerhood, there's childhood, preteen, young adults, adults, pre-senior, seniors, you know. So sometimes we have an inaccuracy in evaluating ourselves in spiritual growth. If you ask someone, well, would you say you are in spiritual growth? Most people would say, oh no, I'm a baby. Where are you at spiritually? I'm a baby. You want to hear me? Goo goo gaga. No. People would say, well, you know, really, I'm a man. You want to see me? So people always think that they're growing up in things, but sometimes it's not. So one thing is for sure, that we all need to grow up. We all need to develop spiritually. It's God's will that we all develop spiritually. The key in growing is speaking the word, getting to the word, and showing yourself the word of God. John 3:34 says, 3:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you cannot begin a journey where you're not. So you have to be accurate in terms of where you're at spiritually. So you know what? We're going to look at this some more. So let me just say this. In Psalm chapter 8, God makes a difference between angels and man. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that you visited him? Verse 5, Psalm 8. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. That's crowned him with glory and honor. We're not angels. Like when you die, you're not going to become an angel. Come on now. When you die, some people say, oh, God needed an angel, so he took my dad. No, you don't become an angel. You are in a different category. It's like some religions say, I'll probably become a dog after I grow up. I get out of here. And listen to this. When you die, your spirit just doesn't hang around for a few years. Walking around with a ball and chain. And say, somebody said this to me the other day. Listen, I want to talk to you. I said, okay, you're a pastor, spiritual man. Okay, let me talk to you. I said, you know what? The other day, I kept hearing these noises in my kitchen. And we said, what's this noise? We don't know what that noise. So one day I decided to check. And here was little old somebody. He's in my, and he's been dead for some time. And he looked at me and said, you know what? and gave him some answers and stuff, and I'm not sure what he said. He disappeared or whatever. But he said his spirit was hanging around for a long, long time. A couple of years maybe. But they needed to set him free. No, when you die, you're going to heaven. If you're a Christian, you're going to heaven for sure. We won't talk about the other thing, but if you're not, your body doesn't, you don't just float around and around, walk around at nighttime, wondering where you're going to go tonight. When you die, you don't hang around you. You can't come and contact me. If you die, you cannot come to me. You can't. I'm talking about growing spiritually. Okay? I had another story. I got all these stories because I talked to a lot of people. Somebody said, if you have a seance or something like that, or some kind of an exercise, spiritual kind of thing, you can mention a number of them, you don't come be visited by somebody who's been dead. Hello? That sounds like Grandpa. Grandpa, is that you? Yeah. And he talks to you and shows you stuff. But no, there's something called familiar spirits in the Bible, and we're forbidden to talk to the dead. Read the Bible. And so talking to the dead, you're just going to get more confused, because there's something called familiar spirits who begin to act like Grandpa. And they know stuff about you. If you talk to them, they'll accommodate you. They'll let you know about different things where you hid something that you lost something somewhere. And say, oh, I heard a voice, and they told me where I can find this thing. And God spoke to me. Somebody said, just because it's supernatural, it doesn't mean it's God. There are other spirits around. They'll give you information about stuff. Now listen, I told you I'm going to go backwards a little bit. Now listen to this. God, no, we didn't come out of the slime and somewhere we were a fish before, and we come on the shore. We became something else. Right? I mean, you're laughing about it, but it's true. People say all kinds of stuff, and they talk about evolution, They say, oh, we came out of monkeys. I mean, try to keep a monkey long enough to make see if he turns into a man. He's not going to turn into a man. Right? Ooga booba, ooga. Right? So evolution, like we think about evolution, we came out of this and that and everything else, and we're just kind of waiting. We're going to develop into something else, maybe. We're going to become more intelligent at some point. No, God shows us in His Word that we never derived from apes. We never came from a fish. Darwinism and all that. We didn't come from there. We. No, we came. No, God says this. We saw a chapter. We're never going to be like an angel. We'll never be like an angel. And we say things, we say things like that. People say that, oh, God needs an angel. And He took her. So this one trying to explain it with something they don't understand and make you feel good. So here, and people say, we're going to turn into something, or, we're going to evolve into different things. No, we didn't evolve. The Bible says, creation says, the Word of God says in Genesis that God made man in His own image. We came because God created us to be like Him, to look like Him, to resemble Him. And so, I want to say this from Scripture. So, since we are a spiritual being, John 4:24 says God is a spirit. The Bible says that man is a spirit. I can give you different scriptures for it, but I'm going to show you later on. Man is a spiritual person. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that, you know, we shouldn't just be taken care out of our outward body, just wear nice clothes and jewelry, take care of ourselves, right? Nice pants. I got nice pants. But you never read the Bible, just buy pants all the time. You're not going to grow spiritually by just getting another ring. Right? And you know what? You can't grow spiritually just by eating different food. You get spiritually strong by getting into the Word of God and learning what God says about who you are. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:3-4, don't let yourself get caught up in the natural, just the natural man, but think about the inward man. The inward man, he says, is far more important than the outward man. 1 Peter chapter 3:3-4. Then God says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18, that our physical bodies are dying. You are living, you're dying. Somebody said right now. You're dying right now. Physically, you're dying. You're done. No. We're getting older. Right? We're getting older. But your spirit is getting renewed every day. You'll never get old spiritually. You never say, "Oh, my spirit's old." No, your spirit will continually live forever. It's got everlasting life in it. God's life is inside you. And it's so important to feed your spirit on the Word and start acting like you're spiritual and acting like you're like what God says you are. You're a spiritual person. You have your spiritual nature. And see that it's important every day. If you don't read your Bible every day, you don't meditate the Word of God, then you need to look at yourself a little bit more closely and say, I need to grow up and start reading the Bible. Let's all stand and close. I did take a little extra time. Ernie took all my time earlier. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus that we're spiritual people. We're growing up spiritually. We're getting renewed every day. We'll never get old spiritually. Well, or we never get too old spiritually, but we know our bodies, as the body, the Bible says, are growing old. And the whole world, even the earth itself is crying for redemption, crying for the day of renewal when you renew this whole world. And one day you said you'll give us brand new bodies. We're looking for that day that could be tonight, could be tomorrow, or any other day that Jesus is coming back. And your word is eternal, and we'll be learning your word in heaven still. We give you praise. We thank you. We give you praise because you are worthy to be praised. You are our creator. You're our healer. You're our provider. You protect us. You are fighting for us. I'm fighting a winning battle because you said that you will fight the battle for us, and we're standing on the Word of God, trusting the Word to manifest itself. Our hope is coming into fruition because by faith we believe it. Thank you for providing all our needs. You said you're our provider, that there's nothing in this life that will surprise you, that a need will come up. You are providing all our needs. Thank you that we wear the robe of righteousness, that we are righteous right now. We're not going to be righteous someday, but we're righteous right now, and we have authority over the enemy. He cannot touch us. He cannot bother our bodies and minds. We have authority to run him off. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. And amen. God bless every one of you.